Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Romans chapter number 5 this morning. Romans chapter number 5. And I want to give you a little thought here today with the help of the Lord, and I hope that you'll pray for us. I thank the Lord for a good week. Matter of fact, a good several weeks here around the church, and not just here at the church, but in meetings that I've been in, and I appreciate the Lord for it. And I'm looking forward to being home all this week, and then the next week I'll be back up towards Roanoke, Virginia. But anyway, I this week I was studying, and actually for a couple weeks I've been studying out of Psalms on a verse, and yesterday throughout the day I was just meditating on things. I don't know about you, but sometimes I'll read verses and then I'll just chew on them for 2 or 3 days. I'll meditate on them. I'll read them over and over and over again. And I'd been doing that and had a thought that I was going to go to in Psalms. And yesterday evening, me and Honey come up to the office, and my golden retriever's more faithful to church than anybody is. And I have to counsel her a lot. She spends a lot of times in my office. But anyway, me and Honey came up to the office, and she'll stretch out underneath the desk. She snores louder than my wife. And I shouldn't have said that out loud. Should have. Miss Leslie don't normally snore. And she says I snore, and I go, I ain't never heard myself snore. She said, well, I ain't never heard myself snore either. And but anyway, the joys of being married and getting old and preaching outside. Amen. I preached outside Thursday night and Friday night, and man, it's killed my allergies. But anyway, I sat in the office, and man, I just could not get no direction on the service today. I had direction on tonight, and I just could not get no direction. And I laid down in the floor. And you said, why'd you lay down in the floor? I was tired and wanted to talk to the Lord a little bit. So I just laid down in the floor, and that crazy dog thought she had to lay down on top of me. So I fought with her a minute and got her wore out, and she went back to her place, and I just laid there and prayed a little while, and I was trying my best. I just could not get direction. And I went home and went to bed, and during the night the Lord woke me up. And I just want to give you a thought this morning, and some of the things that I'll say, I know I've said before. Some of the verses I've read, I know I've read before. But I just want to give you a thought this morning. Can I ask you a question today? I'm just going to let you remain seated because I'm going to bounce around reading. Let's pray together, and then I'll give you the thought. Father, I love you today, and I thank you, Lord, for being good to me. God, thank you for loving me. There ain't nobody ever loved me like you do. And Father, I just say thank you for it. Thank you for the blood of Calvary. God, thank you, Lord, for being so good to us. God, I'm undeserving. Lord, I'm like Ruth. Why have I found grace in thine eyes? Lord, I don't understand it, but I sure am grateful for it. God, help us today. You know the need of the service. You know who's here. God, you know the burden of my heart, and I pray, God, that you would help us today, Father, to relay to the people, Lord, the things that you've put in my heart and my mind. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, I appreciate the Lord this morning. Amen. He's good to us. I want to ask you a question today, and then I'll get into the thought. I want you to answer this, not out loud. I want you to answer it within yourself, and I want you to be honest with yourself this morning. Can I just say it this way? If you believe the Bible, then you know that probably the end of the world is not far from us. Now, I don't know when Jesus is coming back. You don't know when he's coming back. No man knoweth the day nor the hour that the Son of Man cometh, but man, we can read the Bible. We can look at the condition of this world. I really don't think it's going to be long at all before Jesus comes back. And even if it is long before he comes back, the truth of the matter is this: we do not know when we're going to take our last breath. We don't know when death is going to visit us and it's going to take us away. I think I'm okay. I think I'm healthy. I think I'm doing all right. But the truth of the matter is this, I may have some disease in my body, and within the next week or two, it start to show itself, and within just a month or two, I could be called out into eternity. That's the facts of life today. And whether you believe the Bible or not, that proves the Bible to be true, because the Bible said this, it's appointed unto man once to die. And that's just a Bible fact. So we're going to face death one day. When that day is, I don't know. I hope that it's a long time down the road. I'm 47. I hope I've got at least 47 more years if Jesus don't come back. I don't know that I will, but I hope that I do. The truth of the matter is this, though. None of us know when we're going to die. None of us know when the Lord's going to come back. And none of us know when we're going to die. So I want to ask you this question this morning. If today's the day that the Lord comes back, either to call you out of here, let me just say it this way, by the way of the rapture or by the way of the grave, where will you spend eternity at? I want to ask you that. Where are you going to spend eternity at? It's a sobering question this morning, and it's a question that needs to be answered the correct way. You're going to answer it one of two ways. You're going to say yes or you're going to say no. That's the way you need to answer it. You don't need to answer it this way. Well, I hope, I think, maybe. Can I just say something to you today? If you ask me that question, here's my answer. I'll spend it in heaven. I don't have to hesitate on it. I don't think I'm going to heaven. I don't hope I'm going to heaven. I'm not trying to get to heaven. I'm as good as in heaven standing right here, because there was a day that I realized I was lost and asked Jesus to come into my heart and to save me. I know that I'm saved. I'm going to ask you the question again. Where will you spend eternity at? Where are you going when you die? When death calls you out of here, or Jesus comes back by the way of the rapture, where will you spend eternity? There's not but two places. There's heaven and there's hell. Now, I want to take the Bible today, if you're sitting here and you don't know that you're saved, I want to take the Bible today and show you what the Bible says about salvation. And at the end of the service today, when it's all said and done today, if you walk out of these doors lost and you die and go to hell, you'll not be able to stand before God one day and say, nobody ever told me. Nobody ever gave me a clear presentation. Nobody ever taught. So I want to take the Bible and I want to show it to you out of the Bible. Now, can I just say something to you this morning? It really doesn't matter what you think. What matters is what the Bible says. It's either right or it's wrong. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And can I say something to you today? It's right. And the only way that you're ever truly going to believe it and you're ever truly going to be saved is by faith. We believe it by faith. I believe that the accounts in this Word of God today is true by faith. I believe it by faith. And I'll just say this to you. One day my faith will end because I will see Him face to face. And at that moment, faith will no longer be needed. Amen. Well, there's three simple things this morning. Let me show them to you. Number one, there's man's ruin. There's man's ruin. Look with me here in Romans chapter number 5. And look with me in verse number 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You know what the Bible says about man today? He says that every man hath sinned. Go with me back one chapter to chapter number 3. Look in verse number 23. The Bible says this, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know what that means today? It's very simple. It means that every person sitting in here today is a sinner. It don't matter who you are. It don't matter what you think about yourself. You're a sinner today. Based on the Bible, we are in ruin because of sin. Where did sin come from? Well, the Bible just said to us, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world. Who was that? That was Adam in the garden. They was born into a perfect environment. They fellowshipped with God, but man missed the mark. Man sinned, and because of that, every one of us sitting in here today. Now listen to this, all right? This is going to be very deep, and you're not going to like it, but you need to hear it. We're all kidding to each other. If you trace your family tree back far enough, guess what? Adam started it. Are you with me? So, Brother Josh, I'm sorry, but you're married to somebody in your family if you trace it back far enough. Wherefore, it's by one man sin entered in this world. Our father, Adam, brought sin into this world. David said this, that he was shapen in iniquity. You know what he's saying? He's saying this, I was born a sinner. Every person in here today, can I just say this to you? You're never going to get saved until you realize you're lost and a sinner. Every person is in ruin. What does sin do? Sin separates us. It separated them from God. What does sin do? Sin brings sorrow to us. You look at the curse. What does sin do? Sin brings death. Sin is what separates us from God. And every person, according to the Bible, is in ruin. There's man's ruin, number two. I'm not going to be long this morning, I don't think. Number two, there's not only man's ruin, there's the master's remedy. And this is really where I want to center in at just a second. There's the master's remedy. I don't think that I have to preach an hour to you to get you to realize you're a sinner. I think we all can come to the conclusion that we are sinners in need of a Savior. Amen? But aren't you glad that there is the master's remedy today? You see, in the garden when Adam and Eve messed up, Adam and Eve tried to fix themselves. Did they not? What did they do? They brought works into it. They went and got fig leaves. They sewed them together. They tried to cover their own sin up. And God said, I'm not accepting that. I want you to hear what I'm fixing to say to you. Everything that you're trying to do in your own power, in your own merit, will never be good enough. You can go to every class you want to go to. You can read your Bible all that you want to read it. You can go to church all you want to. And hear me, I'm for every bit of that. Man, learn more about the Bible, read the Bible, go to church, be faithful to church, sing in the choir if you've got a voice, be part of the church, man. But all of that is in vain if all you are doing is doing it, trying to save yourself. There is none good. Good, no, not one. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. We are in ruin, but thank God we've got a master that gave a remedy for it. Well, look what your Bible said. Chapter 5, look in verse number 6. Go back to verse number 1. I got a new Bible last week, and it's got great big print in it because I don't like wearing glasses, and I didn't have time to write a bunch of notes in it. And this one I preached out of for about 2 years, and it's got all kinds of notes in it, so I had to look sophisticated and put glasses on this morning. Look in verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith. It all goes back to what I said a while ago. I don't want to get sidetracked. They some things in that Bible, man, that I read them and I'm like, But you let me tell you the reason I believe it. I believe it by faith. I believe it. Listen to this. God parting the Red Sea. That's a pretty big story. Jonah getting swallowed by a whale. That's a pretty big story. David killing Goliath with a rock. That's a pretty big story. But I believe it by faith. By faith. He said, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God will never come unless it comes through the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Look in verse 6. He says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet part of venture for a good man would one even dare to die. Look at verse 8. But God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Verse 9, much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. Let's just keep reading. Man, it's good. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by what? His life. Not anything that I've done. I'm saved. I'm reconciled to God. I'm justified before God through his Son, through his life, through the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we was in ruin, but the Master has a remedy for our ruin. Look in verse number 11. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Verse 12, wherefore it's by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Go to verse 15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God. If you write in your Bible, you should underline much more the grace of God and write hallelujah, praise God, thank you, Jesus, out beside of that. Much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many. You know what he's saying? He's saying this. He's saying where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. And not just a little bit of grace, much more that which you receive, or much more the grace of God and the gift by grace. He said the only reason that we have John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The only reason we have that gift, it's by grace today, man. Everything that we have today, it's by the grace of a holy God. Yes, we was lost. Yes, we was in need of a Savior. Yes, we was headed for hell. But I sure am thankful that in my lost condition, there was a God that decided that he would provide a remedy, and that remedy would be Jesus Christ. And he would not only decide to give the remedy, but he decided to show grace and allow us to experience the remedy by grace through Jesus Christ. The remedy for you today is not this world. The remedy is Jesus. The remedy is Jesus. Jesus paid a debt that we can never pay. Amen. I owed a debt that I couldn't pay, and he paid a debt he did not owe. You said, preacher, how am I going to get saved? Through Jesus. Preacher, how am I going to know the Lord? Through Jesus. Preacher, how am I going to be reconciled to God? Through Jesus. Preacher, how am I going to make it to heaven? Through Jesus. It's all through him. Amen. Can I just say this? There's no other Savior out there that can do that. The reason, I've said it many times, the reason the world hates the name Jesus, it's because through Jesus, amen, there's power in that name. It's just not any name. It's the name of the darling Lamb of God that walked up Calvary's hill and gave his life willingly, but then resurrected one third in glorious morning. It's through Jesus today. Yes, there's man's ruin, but there's the Master's remedy. There's the Master's remedy. How are you going to be saved? It's through Christ. It's through the blood of Christ. If you ever make it to heaven, you're going to go through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number one, there is man's ruin. Number two, there's the Master's remedy. number three, there's man's responsibility. You see, we do have a responsibility today. And you say, well, preacher, what is that? We've got to respond in faith. Can I just say that again? We've got to respond in faith. When I ask the Lord to save me, I ask Him by faith come into my heart. Say, preacher, have you ever seen God? No. Preacher, have you ever talked with God a lot? Preacher, ever heard Him in an audible voice? No, it was louder. If you know what I'm saying, you know what I'm saying. It's all by faith. It's all by faith. Look what He said in Romans chapter number 10. Know what He says in verse number 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead. What is that? That's faith, church. It goes back to chapter 5, verse number 1. That's faith. We believe that Jesus really done that. And shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead. Know what He says, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Know what He says in verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know what that means? That means exactly what it says and says exactly what it means. It means that if you by faith believe that Jesus died, rose again, and let me just say this, and I don't want to get too technical, but it was more than just dying. He died a sinless death. He never sinned the first time. He took upon Himself the form of a man. He that knew no sin became sin. Why? So we could be made the righteousness of God through Him. If you ever get saved, your responsibility is this. You're going to have to, by faith, believe what that Bible right there says and ask Christ to come into your heart and save you and forgive you of your sins. And until you do that, you'll never be saved. Can I ask you a question this morning? Miss Tanya's coming to the piano. Are you saved? I thought a lot throughout the evening, yesterday evening, and throughout the night and early this morning. And here's what I thought about. I thought about heaven. Heaven's going to be a great place. I'll just say that. This world's crazy. I don't keep up with news. I'm just telling you, if you ask me about news, I'm not going to know, okay? I don't. Matter of fact, some of y'all are not going to believe this, and you're going to think I'm a horrible person. If you ask me who Jesus is, I'll tell you I know Him. I talk to Him on a daily basis, okay? This next part, Leslie, we was riding up the road, and she told me about the gentleman. His name don't even come to my mind right now, but the gentleman that got killed this week. She said, can you believe that? This was my exact response. Who's that? I didn't even know who it was. It's not that I'm against him. I'm not. I've went back and done a little bit of study on him, and from everything that I could see, I'll probably go meet him one day on the other side. All right, now I'll just leave that right there. But I didn't know who it was. I didn't. So I done a little study, figure out who it was. But I don't watch the news. I don't listen to the news. I just don't. You say, well, you need to keep up with times. Well, pray for me, okay? You don't sit down and talk about Bible. We'll sit down and talk about it. I'm not trying to be super spiritual. I'm just being honest, okay? But you don't have to look around much. You don't have to know much about news. No, this world's jacked up. This world's jacked up. This world's in a mess. America's in a mess. The country's in a mess. The world's in a mess. But the truth of the matter is this. If you go back, and I'll read out of Nahum tonight. If you go back and study the Old Testament, honestly, this world's always been in a mess. Things that are happening has always been happening. It's not a gun problem, it's a sin problem. Can I just say that again? It's not a gun problem, it's a sin problem. That's what it is. If we're going to get rid of the guns, we need to get rid of the rocks too. If you know your Bible, you understand that. That was the first weapon used to murder somebody. So I guess we need to take up all the rocks and get rid of them too. It's a sin problem. That's what it is. Everything is a sin problem. The problem of our country today, it's sin. That's just what it is. You got a sin problem. I got a sin problem. We are ruined individuals because Adam and Eve messed up in Genesis chapter number 3. But God, that did not take him by surprise. And here's what he said. He said, even though man had a ruin, I as the master have a remedy. And that's Jesus. And our responsibility is simply this today. We trust him for who he is and accept him into our heart. As I was thinking about heaven, here's what I thought about. I sure hope my buddies are in heaven with me. Hope my family is. My youngins have a testimony of being saved. We've talked about that. My wife has a testimony of being saved. My mom and dad has a testimony of being saved. Her mom and dad, her brother and sister, her nieces and nephews. I sure hope you that's sitting in this room is in heaven with me one day. Hey, some people, this is scriptural. Jesus had an inner circle. Study your Bible. He had an inner circle. He had the disciples, but he also had an inner circle. He had some people he was closer to than others. And some people would just let you be closer to them than other people will. Just shake your head and help me right there, and we'll keep going. And there's some people in this room today. I spend more time with you than I do my own family. I sure hope you're in heaven with me one day. But I can't answer that for you. I can't make that decision for you. You got to make that decision. I can't. And here's what I want to say to you. Don't let pride stand in your way. If you know deep down inside that you've never been saved by the grace of God, and you know deep down inside, or if there's the least bit of question about it, man, I beg of you, please don't allow your pride to get in the way of you making peace with a holy God. Boy, I sure would hate to miss heaven. I'm not going to, but I'd hate for you to miss heaven one day. I'll give you this in closing. In 1830, a man named George Wilson was convicted of a serious crime in the United States and sentenced to death. Surprisingly, Andrew Jackson granted him a presidential pardon on June 14, 1830. Yet Wilson did something unthinkable, and he refused to accept it. The case went all the way to the Supreme Court. Their ruling was this, and I quote, "A pardon is only a slip of paper, the value of which depends upon its acceptance by the person under sentence. If it is refused, it is no pardon at all." It goes on to say this in the documents I was reading. "But he has insisted that unless he pleads it or in some ways claims its benefits, therefore denoting his acceptance of this preferred grace, the court cannot notice it nor allow it to prevent them from passing sentence." Wilson went on and died because the pardon was offered, but he refused to accept it. It's a true story. He was pardoned. All he had to do was accept it, but he denied it. Every person sitting in here today has been pardoned. Every sin that's ever been committed or ever will be committed has already been pardoned. Are you hearing me this morning? It's done. But you've got to accept the pardon that's been extended. It said it's no good unless the offender accepts it. I sure am glad July the 20th, 1994, I realized that I had already been pardoned and I decided to accept it. Are you saved this morning? Will you meet me in heaven one day? If you're here today, you'll never ever be able to say, nobody ever told me how I could get saved. I'm telling you, it's by faith that we trust in Him and ask forgiveness of our sins and Him to come into our heart.